Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Helping you wake up, remembering this is our Father's world. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio. If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles. Arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Did you brew a whole pot of coffee this morning? Because we're gonna need it. Or maybe a whole pot of tea and not the decaffeinated kind. Yeah. Good morning. I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Mornings with Carmen on the Faith Radio Network. And if you're like me, you might have stayed up too late last night. Your reasons might be different than mine, but I was definitely up past my bedtime. How about you? So it is Friday. I get kind of excited about Fridays. I have a big weekend planned. What about you? I'm going to be attending a birthday party tomorrow for some little boys who I love very, very much. I really appreciate the combined birthday party among grandkids. I just don't mind telling you that. I don't mind telling you that I like the combined birthday party. So doing one of those tomorrow and then, and then spending a little time the rest of the weekend with the kids we're taking with us. So yes, Jim and I are going to load up a whole car of kids tomorrow and head off for a weekend adventure. What about you? What have you got planned this weekend? 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 is where I am in the Word today. Where in the Word are you today? It's really important to get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into us before we get out there into the world that God so loves. Why? Well, because we want to honor Jesus, right? We want to honor God. We want to be filled with the grace and truth that is provided to us by the Holy Spirit and by the living Word of God. Why? Well, because the world is going to squeeze us. The world is going to squeeze you today, my friend. And what's going to come out of you? Well, what you're full of. Everybody's full of something. Let us be the people who are full of grace and truth. And how are we going to get all filled up? Well, we're going to get ourselves into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into us so that when the world squeezes us, what comes out is the very Word of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 today. Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. So what does it look like to honor God with our bodies? What does it look like for me to honor God with my body? What does it look like for you to honor God with your body? Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Are you a person in whom the Holy Spirit lives and dwells? If so, then your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't belong to yourself, Paul says. God bought you with a high price. And what was that high price? Well, that high price was the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That's how valuable you as a person and your body are to God. Your body actually matters. We're not disembodied spirits. Jesus was incarnate in a body. He took on flesh. He rose to newness of life in a physical body. He ascended into heaven. Embodied. I don't get it exactly, but that's how it works. We're going to be raised in, yes, resurrected bodies, but these bodies matter. Flesh suit. Yeah, it matters. So we must honor God with our bodies. That's what Paul says here. So what does it mean to honor God with your body? Well, here's three thoughts. Do what is holy, do what is healthy, do what is helpful. There you go. This is where I will hang my hat today on honoring God with our bodies. Do what is holy, do what is healthy, do what is helpful. How you see your body actually determines how you treat your body. So you might ignore your body, you might adore your body, you might abhor your body, right? That's not a physical issue, it's a spiritual one. So let's talk about doing what is holy, doing what is healthy and doing what is helpful with and for our bodies in order that we could honor God. So do what is holy with your body. The flip side of this is don't do what is unholy with your body, right? This is the easy one to have a flip side conversation about. There's also, you know, we're going to positively state do what is healthy with and for your body and don't do then what is unhealthy with and for your body. Okay, so this one's imperative. Do with and for your body what is holy. There's a reason why our bodies are called a temple. A temple is a place of worship. It means that your body, if you're a follower of Jesus, your body is a habitation of the Holy God. It is a place of worship. And if the Holy Spirit dwells in this temple, your body, for 24 hours a day, not only every waking moment, but every sleeping moment, then it is a place where God is to be worshiped and honored. Maybe that'll help you today. Maybe it will help you today to consider that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and therefore you ought to do there what is holy and, you know, not do what is unholy. All right, so second, do what is healthy. What does it mean today to do what is healthy for your body? Your body was created for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. So take it for a walk today. Go walk with him. Go talk with him. Fill it with things that are good that God provides, like eat close to the earth today. What we eat matters. Getting rest matters. Getting active matters. Drinking clean water matters. Rest matters. Health is important. Taking care of your body is important to God. Why? Because God wants to use your body to glorify himself. And that's a ministry-related thing. And so if we're unhealthy, if we're unable for our bodies to function properly in doing the good works that God's prepared in advance for us to do, then, you know, unhealthiness leads to unholiness. And then finally, we should do what's helpful for our body in order that God might use our bodies in to his glory, yes, but in service to others. So what are some helpful things that you could do for your body today? Well, number one on that list is actually to be thankful. Number one on the list today is be thankful. Be thankful that God gave you a body. Be thankful that your body functions as well as it does. Even if it doesn't function as well as you might like it to, consider the gift that it is to be an inhabited human being. Might surprise you, like medical researchers today, you know, science people, they talk about gratitude being the one emotional trait that's most likely to benefit our physical health and to accelerate our recovery from serious illness. So let's be grateful people today for our bodies. And let's be grateful that God has given us a body in which he is pleased to dwell. And then let us honor God with our bodies, doing what is holy, doing what is healthy, doing what is helpful. Hey, our friend Than Bennett is going to join us next from The Equipped. We're going to talk about the true and the beautiful. What do you find beautiful today, and how might you spend some time reveling in it? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Never do that again. When's the last time you said that to one of your kids? Than Bennett is joining us now from The Equipped. You can find what we're talking about at TheEquippedNewsletter.com. Than, good morning.
Carmen, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Never do that again.
Yeah, yeah. You know, maybe never do the short night thing again, too, because I did that last night, too. Praise God for coffee.
I was going to say, are y'all jacked up on caffeine this morning? Because that's kind of what I'm rolling with. Yeah.
Well, I've had like 6 ounces. I probably need about another 26. Especially my reasons. I don't know your reasons, Carmen. Mine were the State of the Union and the response. And so maybe even extra coffee is needed. So.
Yes. That would be my reasons as well. We had a guest for dinner. That was the start of my unusual evening. And then, yes, the State of the Union response to the State of the Union. Yeah, short night. That's good. It's okay. It's okay. Never do that again. That is something that as parents we say very, very frequently. I like that you say first, I'm so proud of you, but never do that again.
It was true. You know, so this happened a few years ago. This involved my daughters, one of whom, by the way, you mentioned you have a birthday party this weekend for kids. She's actually swimming in a championship swim meet this weekend. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. But this is the never do that again, Carmen. This goes back a few years to their very first swim meet. And I don't know how many people out there are swim parents, but swim meets are crazy. I mean, there's just chaos everywhere. And so when you add the fact that this was our girls, they're 13 and 11 now. They were much younger then. It was their first swim meet. And so they were both pretty scared. And they were both entered in the same race. It was the 25-meter butterfly. And our youngest daughter, Hope, was particularly scared because she was intimidated by the butterfly. It's a difficult stroke. And so long story short, what happened is both girls dove into the water. And when they surfaced, Hope's older sister, Brelle, was just, her eyes were locked on Hope. She was concerned about Hope for the whole race. And so even though Brelle had entered the race as the favorite to win it, Carmen, she finished near dead last. Because she wasn't looking at the wall at the end of the pool. She was looking at her younger sister. And so she got out of the water and we'd let some time pass. And then when I saw her, I said, Brelle, I am so very proud of you. Thank you for looking out for your younger sister. Now, never do that again, right? Because I knew that her team had been counting on her for points. And if she had been focused on her mission, she likely would have won the race. She hasn't lost much since. And so just to kind of bring that to an application point for us, it's, you know, it's really pretty straightforward, but I think it's Hebrews 12. It says that we all have a race that is marked out for us and that we need to throw off things that hinder us and that distract us and specifically sin that entangles us. And what do we need to do? We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. That is the proverbial finish line, like that wall was for Brelle that day. And by doing that, we can trust him to chart our course and to help us to navigate our race. And so, yeah, Brelle and I still sort of laugh about that. I'll be like, hey, Brelle, you remember that time where Hope beat you in the 25-meter butterfly? And she'll usually kind of roll her eyes and hit me and be like, Dad, stop. But it really is true, Carmen. We have a race marked out for us. We can trust our Heavenly Father to guide us in that race, and we need to make sure that our eyes are fixed on him.
This temptation to fix our eyes on other people who are in the race, but their race is, you know, in a different lane than ours. That's real. Like, right? The fixation on the race, yes, but not on other people in the race. But instead, I like the way that you say this. Like, right, Hope was not in any danger. There was a lifeguard sitting in watchful observance. Actually, you know, there was a whole crowd of people as well with their eyes on the pool. But Brelle's entanglement with Hope's race clearly threw her off her own. It hindered her in her own race. So I just, that's really, really helpful. I think there are times that we get fixated on the race that others are running and we fail to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our race, and, you know, moving toward him with intentionality. That's it's just really, really good. So thank you for that. All right, let's do one of the headline news stories that you have covered in the Equipped newsletter this week. Again, we're talking with Than Bennett. TheEquippedNewsletter.com is where you can find what we're talking about today. Folks might have missed this earlier in the week, but my guess is that maybe they didn't miss it, but they might have missed it in terms of its eternal perspective. The former president of the United States, Donald Trump, has been judged to be eligible to appear on the 2024 primary ballots in every state. And then there were primaries held earlier this week as well on Super Tuesday. Maybe we can mash those stories together.
Yeah, sure, Carmen. And I think, I'm pretty sure a previous time I was on with you, I said I didn't like talking about these stories, whether they involve the current president or the former president.
That's why we make you do it. It's just painful, and we want you to do it.
Well, and honestly, though, that's kind of why I write about it. And I'm actually pretty excited about this version of it, because there's a resolution here that I actually think the course that we've been charting at the Equipped sort of foresaw coming, not in a predictive way, but just in a giving people tools to navigate tumultuous stories. And I think today's story illustrates why it's so important. You kind of gave the thumbnail sketch. The Supreme Court decided that former President Trump is eligible for the ballot in every state, and the states led by Colorado that had attempted to remove him from the ballot cannot do that. Now, for those of us who had been watching sort of mainstream news, you'd been hearing a narrative from a conservative perspective that said this is about your right to vote for a candidate of any candidate of your choice. And from the left, I would sort of describe the narrative about as one of saying this is about ensuring that insurrection is met with justice. And in truth, Carmen, the case that was being heard and the arguments that were being made really weren't about either of those things. And so at the Equip, we were encouraging people to read the constitutional provisions that were in question and to read the arguments from both sides, consistent with the admonitions of Proverbs, and then just applying the mind of Christ and sound minds to what was likely to happen. And the truth is, the Constitution does not afford anyone the right to vote for anyone of their choosing. There is a clear set of criteria in the Constitution for how to qualify to run for president, and also a disqualification series that's found in the 14th Amendment. And that is what this case was about. It was also about who could make that determination. And I think that maybe the narrative from the left was sort of conveniently overlooking that the 14th Amendment itself specifically mentioned Congress in enforcing that provision. So all of that come together. I think those who were tracking this case with us were expecting the decision that the Supreme Court issued, which, Carmen, get this, they decided 9-0. Mm-hmm. 9-0. Based on the coverage over the last few months, I think everybody would have expected this is going to be either a 5-4 decision, or it's going to be the 6 conservatives on one side and, you know, the 3 liberals on the other side. It was 9-0 that what the Constitution said is there's a set of criteria to run for president. The former president met those. There's also a set of criteria that would disqualify you from being president. And Congress, which is the entity mentioned in the 14th Amendment, has not invoked that disqualification clause, and therefore it hasn't been remedied. 9-0 was the decision. And I would just sort of say this. It's pretty clear that Congress is not going to do this, but I would tell folks, even on the right, this decision makes it clear that should there come a day for any candidate where Congress would invoke that, this decision means that Congress has the authority to disqualify someone from the ballot. And so all of that to say, the eternal perspective here, the admonition for us as followers of Jesus Christ, you may like this decision, you may dislike this decision, but I will tell you, you were better prepared and better equipped for this decision if you applied a sober mind, a sound mind, as 2 Timothy calls it. You read the provisions for yourself, and you sort of blocked out the agenda-driven narrative that was all around you. I think you were way less anxious during the course of these arguments because you were expecting this day to come.
We have one write-in candidate for president, independent write-in candidate who listens regularly to this show. So good morning, Doug. One of the 1,212 candidates who ran for the office of president of the United States 4 years ago and who put himself forward again this year as a write-in candidate for president. So there you go. We're going to continue our conversation with our friend Than Bennett, host of The Equipped, here in just a moment. You can check out what we're talking about at theequippednewsletter.com. I'm going to ask him next, you know, a little off topic, but in his experience, what is the difference between being a guest on a show and being a host? Yeah, because he's been sitting in the host chair over on Bill Arnold's show on a number of occasions recently. And so I just thought it would be fun, Than, to find out from you, in your experience, what are some of the differences in being a guest and being a host on a radio show? That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. Take a walk with Jesus today. Walk with him from the Last Supper in the upper room where he washed his disciples' feet to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed with blood and sweat and tears. Walk with Jesus today as a man bound by Roman soldiers to trials and abuse, and walk with Jesus all the way to the cross. But expect always the unexpected and anticipate miracles, because there's a whole lot more happening than meets the eye when we walk with Jesus. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Dan Bennett is host of The Equipped, which you can hear on the Faith Radio Network. He is also the author or aggregator, you might think of it, as The Equipped Newsletter. You can check it out at theequippednewsletter.com. It always ends with the beautiful, and this week's beautiful image, which is a photograph always taken by his wife, Brooke Bennett. This one is of a bouquet of roses set against a black background, which tends to be, I think, the way she rolls. And it is a nod to Isaiah 35, verse 1. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Than, you've been serving as a guest host on the Bill Arnold's show in the afternoons. In your experience, what are some of the differences being a guest versus being a host?
It's been fun filling in for Bill, Carmen. I was thinking about this during the break. I think I would tell you two things. One is just the responsibility to keep things on the rails, right? I mean, like, I come on your show and I just ramble, and eventually you have to jump in and say, okay, Than, we've heard enough from you. It's time to go to break, right? Taking on that responsibility, that's more challenging than just responding to questions. But I think the biggest difference for me, Carmen, is beforehand. It's the preparation. I write the entire newsletter here, and so there's a lot of work that goes into the content that we discuss when I'm on with you. But when you're having a guest on to interview the message that God has downloaded to their heart, I think there's a responsibility to steward that, right? And to sit in the information and to absorb it in a way that you kind of get the heart of what they're saying, so that you can give them an opportunity and you can draw out the things that are at the heart of what God has said to them. And so I think most of the difference for me is actually beforehand in preparing for that content. So I don't know. How would you answer that question?
I would say I feel a greater responsibility being the host of the show than when I am a guest on someone else's show. It's really fun to go and be a guest because you're more free. You don't feel the same responsibility that you feel when you are hosting a program. And so, when the roles are reversed, I definitely feel it. And it's fun. It's fun to switch chairs every once in a while. So thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be your guest on one of the times that you hosted for Bill. So there you go. It was fun to have our roles reversed when we had an opportunity to do that. And so I just thought I'd just ask you, since you're sitting in both chairs from time to time. It's kind of fun. How about life on the farm? What is happening? Give us a Friday farm report from where you live.
Oh, Friday Farm Report. It's beautiful for the first time all week, which is a great start. The sun is shining. The biggest thing on our farm right now, I can't remember if I've told you this or not, but we have pregnant goats. And so we are looking forward to goat kids probably the first week of June. We're hoping that four of them are pregnant, so probably somewhere between four and eight kids. And then the other thing, well, two more things just real quick. One, we're about ready to receive our spring meat chickens, and so we will mm-hmm. have chicks for the next several weeks. I guess last thing, it's time to start splitting firewood for next winter, Carmen. And so I've been cutting trees down, which is one of my favorite things to do in the world. I can't explain why. I just love it. And so I was doing that yesterday morning.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So let's see. Friday Farm Report here. It's super duper green. Because one of my responsibilities is mowing, I definitely have raised the alarm that it is time to get the mower into the barn, sharpen the blades, change the, I don't know, whatever fluids get changed in the lawnmower. I really don't know. I don't know that part. I just know that as the person who runs the lawnmower, I have raised the flag of alarm in relationship to that. We spent this past weekend pruning our fruit trees. Well, I didn't prune them. Jim pruned them, and then Matthew and I collected all of the debris field and made a burn pile because all of our plum trees are already budding. Like the wow. buds are already bursting forth. And so that's early, but you know, not crazy early. So that's going on. And so spring has fully sprung where I live. And that means that we are in hurry up mode, because there were things that we put off until tomorrow, what maybe we should have done yesterday. And so, so we find ourselves playing a little bit of spring, early spring catch up mode on the farm. When your goats have babies, do you guys do like goat milk? Are you doing stuff like that? Are these just goats that, you know, keep the floor of the forest down? Like, what's going on with your goats? Are they fainting goats? Do you just have them for fun to watch them fall over? Like, what's happening?
So you're giving us a lot of credit for having a plan for what's going to happen in a couple of months from now, Carmen. I think the current goats we have five of them, are purely pets. This is the first time that we have bred them, and so it's the first time that we will have kids. We are going to milk them. We are going to use them for milk.
Wow!
But beyond that, Carmen, I don't know. I don't know how many of these we will retain. I don't know how many of them will end up with neighbors. But we will have milk for some time. But you know this drill. It's March 8th. They don't come till the first week of June. I've got like 32,000 things to do on the farm between now and then. Oh, by the way, I love how you say, I'm in charge of mowing, but I don't do anything other than mow.
No, I mean, in relationship to the lawnmower? No.
Yeah.
Clearly
just
not.
Do all the things.
I mean, I run into things with the lawnmower. I wound things with the lawnmower. Uh-huh. I run over things with the lawnmower. I mean, there have been, we could have a whole segment on lawnmower stories. I mean, let me just say this. That there, you could put like a cable between trees and create a dog run in a certain, like, you know, let's just say you did that, right? Let's just say that hypothetically you did that, and then somebody unhooked one end and sort of like threw it down at the base of another tree, right? But the lawnmower person didn't know that. Well, let me just tell you, that cable all wound up in the bottom of your lawnmower, that requires an extrication process that would have been worthy of a YouTube video. I mean, we didn't video it, but that call to my husband when I was like, I ran over something. It wasn't a stump, but the lawnmower is like half elevated in the air and something's all wound up in the bottom. Yeah. So anyway, it required like the tractor and the bobcat. Like, we had to like pull the, it was crazy. Anyway, yes, I am responsible for mowing and nothing else related to the lawnmower.
So I love it that started with a specific hypothetical and ended up with your mower suspended in the air. Just to make you feel better, and I know we got to run, but just to make you feel better, I currently don't have an operational lawnmower for a very similar reason, so I got to get on that pretty quickly too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, get one that your wife wants to drive around, because there you go. Or your kids. Like, get one that like you can pawn off on somebody else to make that their job, because I love mowing. I love bush hogging too, but that might be a theme for a different conversation. All right, we got to go. We have no goats. Now I feel a little bit sad, but I'm happy for you. That's Than Bennett. You can listen to him on The Equipped here on the Faith Radio Network. You can also check out what we talked about today at theequippednewsletter.com. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen, and Chris Martin joins us next. All righty. Chris Martin is back. We love talking with Chris about, well, a range of topics, but he's the creative director at Moody Publishers and a social media consultant. He is, as you know, the author of two books about social media and its impact in our lives, and particularly on the lives of our kids, The Wolf in Their Pockets and Terms of Service. He blogs at chrismartin.fyi. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you?
No, it is well with my soul. I didn't have quite enough sleep, but I've had more than enough coffee. So, I'm pretty good. How about you?
Balances out. Yeah, I'm doing all right. It's been pretty nice here in the Nashville area. I mowed yesterday for the first time, but then
I just talked about the need for mowing at my house, and I'm the mower.
Yeah.
The mower person, but the mower, the physical mower, needs some attention before the mower person can mow. So there you go.
Yeah. So we get our yard's kind of funny. We have an assortment of grasses and things. So at the beginning of the season, like half of it needs mowed, and the other half you don't really even have to touch. So anyway, I mowed the backyard last night. But then it's kind of nice. So it's like, hey, let's sleep with the windows cracked open a little bit. And I'll tell you what, my allergies are hating me this morning because sleeping with the window, even just a little cracked open the night after mowing, yeah, my sinuses are raging at me right now. So,
okay, so we call what you're describing lawn pattern baldness.
yes, exactly.
my yard is suffering from that same kind of yes, grass in some places and other things. Other places and some places nothing. There you go. Yeah, lawn pattern
exactly.
Baldness. Mm-hmm. All right. So jumping in with you on some things that you have blogged about, you've got some recommendations for us. Let's just jump in there.
Yeah. My three recs, which is a play on T-Rex. My three recommendations from last week in the newsletter are the following. I'll just go through them kind of quickly, and if we want to dive more deeply into any of them, we can. First, as a newsletter by my friend, her name is Ashley Torres. We work together at Moody Publishers. She helps all of our authors talk about their books and talk about their books on social media or publicity with people like you, things like that. And she started a newsletter, and she's not, you know, we actually talked about it just as friends before she did it. She's not typically much of a writer. She's kind of just delving into it for the first time. And I thought her first article or her first newsletter on The Day That Scares You to Death was just a tremendous piece of writing. And I commend it to anyone who has maybe experienced a really scary time with a kid. She talks about one of her children who experienced a febrile seizure and just like what that was like and how she had to lean on the Lord. And I just thought it was a really beautiful piece of writing. So I recommended that. Secondly, perhaps a bit more relevant to our common discussion, I recommended the best Apple Vision Pro review that I've seen by Marques Brownlee. Marques Brownlee is one of the biggest tech YouTubers in the world, and he's just amazing. He's not sensational. And you know, so many YouTubers today, in an effort to get as much attention as possible, can be kind of sensational, or there are some reviewers who will always positively review certain products from certain companies and negatively review products from other companies. Marques Brownlee not only has like really high production value content, it's just like it's beautiful, it's shot very well, it's easy to watch, and he explains things in a very understandable manner, but he's also just very even-handed, and he'll often, you know, he's not super pro Apple or super anti Apple, and he's just very trustworthy. And you know, when the Apple Vision Pro was released just a month or so ago,
is that a phone? No,
the Apple Vision Pro is their goggles, you know, their AR VR goggle, the stuff that everybody's making fun of. He did a really great, really long review. In fact, he did a few reviews, and I thought it was the best one. So I recommend, if you're looking about what even is, you're probably not looking to buy the Apple Vision Pro unless you've just got, you know, almost $4,000 laying around that you don't know what to do with. But if you're interested in what it even is, or if it's even interesting, his is just a really good overview of what is this thing? Is it working? Is it practical? And I just thought it was a really great overview. And then third, finally,
he's fun to watch. Like, let's just confess that. Yeah, he's fun to watch. So anyway, it's a YouTube. When you go to Chris's newsletter at chrismartin.fyi, he has the links in there and the Apple Vision Pro review. You'll see it. It's a YouTube link, and so anyway, it's fun to watch. All right. So yeah. your last recommendation.
Yeah, this one is, you know, perhaps worthy of more discussion, and it was one of honestly the most disturbing pieces I've read in a really long time. It's called A Marketplace of Girl Influencers Managed by Moms and Stalked by Men. And the subtitle at the New York Times is Seeking Social Media Stardom for Their Underage Daughters, Mothers Post Images of Them on Instagram. The accounts draw men sexually attracted to children, and they sometimes pay to see more. It's an article from the New York Times just a couple weeks ago on February 22nd. And I excerpt a bit of it in the newsletter. And I think, like I said, it's just one of the most disturbing things I've read in a while. In short, what we have is we have a bunch of mothers who are running Instagram accounts for not only their underage daughters, but their daughters who are even underage for something like Instagram, meaning they're not at the age of 13 where they can open their own Instagram account without lying about their age, but maybe they're 11, 10, 12, and their mom has decided to start an Instagram account for them and post pictures of them doing their cheerleading routine or their gymnastics routine or dance, etc., in an effort to grow their social media following, particularly on Instagram, in hopes of becoming an influencer, getting clothing deals, you know, sport drink deals, things like that, where perhaps their 10, 11, 12-year-old daughter, through the Instagram account managed by their mom, could end up making more money in a month than maybe their parents make in a year. Mm. Might sound interesting. Problem is, those accounts, as you can imagine, attract a bunch of creeps. Mm-hmm. And while that's not good, obviously, it's not necessarily surprising if you pay attention to the internet at all in the last 20 plus years. And perhaps what's most disturbing about the article, which is, it sounds weird to say, is not even the creeps who stalk these underage girls. That's creepy in and of itself. What's even more creepy, I think, is that moms are just kind of okay with it. Or even worse, they express, yeah, this is weird and it's not really okay, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. And so I have so many questions that frankly enrage me about how mothers of preteen girls feel it's okay to subject their children, their girls, to some, you know, you could call it a sort of virtual image trafficking, if you will, just for some extra money, and perhaps a shot at fame. It's kind of like the dance mom phenomenon in its worst possible light, and the worst possible version of that phenomenon. And so the article is like I said, incredibly disturbing. You can find it at the New York Times or in my newsletter. And I think it's just like, when you think about what is the worst possible scenario in our social media world, like what are some things going on in a social media dystopia? Girls selling pictures of their 12-year-old, moms selling pictures of their 12-year-old girls to men on the internet through Instagram is in the pantheon of dystopian social media phenomena, I think.
Yeah. There are some things that I think as Christians we should reflect on. These are conversations we could have. There's no reference in any of this to dad. I think that's really, really significant. Doesn't mean that none of these people have a dad involved, but there's something going on here in these families. I do think it provides an opportunity for us to talk about what is a mother? What is that role? How is a child entrusted to a mother by God? That's God's child. And so when you think about the kids that God has entrusted to your life and entrusted to your care, particularly if you're a mom or a grandmom, this is a good opportunity to just think about what is a mother? And what does it mean to be entrusted with the sacred gift of another human being, of a child? And then this conversation about the commodification of children. If we have arrived at the place in our culture where having a child is quote unquote a choice, and it is the choice of an individual woman based on whatever her desires for that child are at a particular point in time in her life in a particular circumstance, then why wouldn't she think that the commodification of that kid was a totally okay thing? So there are worldview implications to all of the conversations that we have about who we are as individuals and who every person is as an individual. And if you don't understand and believe and receive the truth that every human being is created in the image of the living God, male and female, he created them. Like, God is the one who gives the breath of life. God is the one who gives the gift of a child. And it's a sacred trust. It's not your child. It's God's child. And so I think all of those are conversations that we need to be having today. And this New York Times article, tremendously disturbing, gives us an opportunity to have those conversations in the culture writ large. We're going to continue our conversation with Chris Martin here in just a moment. You can find what we're talking about at Chris's blog, chrismartin.fyi. If you want me to, I'll send you the direct link to the New York Times article. Just text me, 877-933-2484. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.
150 million people, 150 million people actively use one particular app every month in the United States of America. I want that to be the Faith Radio app. How about you? If you're wondering how you could be encouraged in your faith at any time, anywhere, well, I got good news for you. There's literally an app for that. You can listen to Faith Radio live, any show on demand, no matter where you are at any time of the day or night. Download the free Faith Radio app right now. It's super easy. Just text the word app to 877-933-2484 and click the link. Let's connect faith to life.
Continuing our conversation with our friend Chris Martin from Moody Publishing. He also blogs at chrismartin.fyi for those of you looking for his newsletter, which I would highly recommend. You and I have both read something at Mere Orthodoxy by Jake Metter, and it's called Upcoming Tech Dystopia. What is the upcoming tech dystopia, and maybe has it already in some ways arrived?
Yeah, I think there's this upcoming tech dystopia of unreality becoming our reality, I guess would maybe be one way to summarize it. Where we have, like, I'm just going to read part of what Jake writes here. He says, now I want to propose a scenario that's not at all implausible given the technology we currently possess. Apple Vision Pro, which is that headset device we just talked about. Sora, which is a open AI video creation service where you could write in a 20-word prompt and this upcoming video creation service could create an entire video for you based on that prompt. You know, we've had AI image creation, etc. Now we're on the brink of having AI video creation, which is going to be very scary but interesting and all kinds of feelings. So he said, imagine Apple Vision Pro, Sora, and something like the various AI girlfriend tools. One version of the coming sexual dystopia will involve someone using AI to generate a girlfriend, then using Sora to create pornographic content featuring that girlfriend, and then consuming that content via Apple Vision Pro. This sort of simulation will be far more devastating than traditional pornography, both because there will be an illusion of human connection with the AI girlfriend, and because the use of something like Sora would allow the user to actually create their own scenarios and situations with their AI girlfriend, furthering the illusion of human relationship and connection. And so that's just like one example of a scenario that is surely on the horizon. And I agree with him. I think that's an inevitability. And I think that this goes back to a lot of what you were saying before the break, just about like, what does it mean to be a person? I think we're going to be grappling with a lot more foundational questions in our culture moving forward. And this isn't to say current questions about humanity and the like in our culture are going to go away. I think, for decades to come, we will continue to have conversations about, when is a child a child? When does life begin? I think those conversations aren't going to go away. But I think like there's going to be similar conversations down a different road around what does it mean to have a truly human experience? Like are people going to just become content with a scenario like Jake describes in the article? Or are we always going to be a little unsettled with something like that? Is it always going to be a little odd that is a way that people find relational and intimate connection is through a sort of illusion via technology like Apple Vision Pro and AI generated video? I don't know, because there are certain things today I feel that we would have said a decade or two decades ago are totally ridiculous that now we just kind of accept. And so that scenario that he proposes sounds absurd as we sit here and talk about it today. But it's like, man, will it in 20 years? Or will that just be like, oh, well, yeah, there's this whole section of people who don't want to marry, don't want to have kids, just want to maintain a relationship with their AI generated girlfriend and or boyfriend and just kind of move along and do it. Will that become an accepted section of society, or will that always not sit rightly with us? And I think a lot of that comes down to, what is the human experience? What does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to have real intimacy with a real person and to attempt to start a family? Like, what's our call to maintain the call to procreate and to have kids or to at least care for children. And I think there's a lot of questions that our technology is going to be forcing us to ask, which I think, in one sense is dystopian and kind of scary. And oh my gosh, here we go again, like with some more technology overtaking everything. But at the same time, I think it'll be good for us as like a society to be addressing these questions, because I think that the technology is just going to reveal to us a lot of ways our understanding of what it means to be human is already lacking, and the technological advances are just going to kind of force our hand as Christians, as people generally, to define, here's what it means to be human, here's the richness of the human life, and these new technologies are robbing us of that depth and that richness, and we shouldn't be okay with it, whether we're Christian or not. I think a lot of those conversations are probably on the horizon for us.
Mm-hmm. If you're wondering right now, like, how many people are actually using AI-generated girlfriends and or boyfriends, I suppose, although the overwhelming market here is for AI girlfriends. So in 2024, between 28 and 42 million people are currently using AI girlfriend chatbots. And so that's a lot of folks. I mean, if you were thinking, hey, this is probably just a handful of people, no, between 28 and 42 million people currently using AI girlfriend chatbots. What does that mean? Well, that means that they have a quote unquote relationship with a virtual girlfriend. Some of them are based on real people. So influencers create AI bots of themselves and then, and then have quote unquote relationships with people through social media related to those chatbots. Is that an okay way of saying that? Like, it's hard to imagine this, but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's right. And what it comes down to, honestly, is people will take an illusion of intimacy so mm-hmm. long as it doesn't cost them anything socially. It may cost them mm-hmm. something monetarily. They may pay $8 a month for access to that AI chatbot girlfriend right. of their favorite female influencer, but they're not making themselves relationally vulnerable in a way that they would if they had to actually pursue a significant other in real life. And so yeah. the cost of $8 a month is much easier to stomach than, you know, having a girlfriend that might criticize the way you
do
chew
anything.
Your food or something
yeah,
like that.
Do
yeah.
anything. No, that's
and so,
exactly right.
So, yeah. So I think that's, it's like we're willing to sacrifice intimacy in an order to avoid vulnerability. And I think that's going to be a common thread that you see people follow here. Mm.
Chris, as always, thank you so much. We got to leave it right there. That's Chris Martin. You ought to be checking out not only what he's writing, but the things that he is directing our attention toward. ChrisMartin.fyi. All right, let's just circle back around to where we started this conversation, because we've ended it on sort of like a disembodied reality. And we started in a conversation about 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you realize that your body, your physical body, is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourself. God bought you with a high price. So honor God with your body. So today, let us honor God with our bodies. Let us do what is holy. Let's do what's healthy. Let's do what's helpful. And yes, we do have another hour together next here on Mornings with Carmen. If you haven't visited with us lately at myfaithradio.com, we got a ton of great stuff there, including an opportunity for you to read the Bible together with us during Holy Week. So don't miss out on that. All right, stay tuned. We got another hour up next. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.